This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Cyber Exception.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We've said it over and over again. The holiday season has tanked in this economic fallout. And that is true. The spending indicator Spending Pulse says pre-Christmas sales dropped 5.5% to 8% over last year. But Amazon.com says its holiday season was the brightest it's ever been. More than 6.3 million items ordered on its peak day earlier this month, December 15th. The holiday season accounts for up to half of retailers' sales for the year. Maybe you got an ugly sweater or a pair of jeans that were just too small. Before, you'd probably throw them aside. Maybe give it to somebody else for their birthday. But the return lines this year could be a little longer. Andrea Gardner explains.
Retailers are bracing for an onslaught of returned holiday gifts this weekend. Joe LaRocca from the National Retail Federation says that's because more consumers are strapped for cash and, as a result, more practical about what they keep.
It might be the wrong size or the wrong color, and historically they might have kept the item in their closet or even regifted the item to someone else. And in today's environment, they're bringing the item back to the store, using the money for something that meets their needs immediately.
And retailers are making returns easier this year. LaRocca says more than half of stores surveyed said they would relax their return policies. Only a third said the same thing last year. So why should a store, already hurt by the economy, make it easier for a customer to reverse a sale? LaRocca says it comes down to customer service. When consumers get what they want, they're more likely to come back to spend money. In Los Angeles, I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
Industrial production in Japan has taken a big hit. It plunged in November by the biggest margin in more than 50 years, 8%. Major exporters there have taken a beating: Sony, Toyota, Honda. As you may have heard, Americans, the biggest buyers of Asian goods, don't seem to be doing a lot of buying. There is some buying going on this morning, though. On Wall Street, the Dow is up, and the S&P 500, for that matter, up about 0.5% so far. The NASDAQ basically flat at this hour. Asian markets were mixed. The Nikkei was up 1.5%. European markets are closed today for the long holiday weekend. So what'll it be? Half empty or half full? Seems there's a little bit of both this holiday season, with news about alcohol sales and who's drinking what. Jean-Luc Renault reports.
Booze makers could probably use a dose of their own medicine right now. Beverage Media Group senior editor Perry Luntz says sales of alcoholic beverages are drying up, and high-end brands are taking the biggest hit. Premium beer sales are down about 3%, with fine wine down around 4% compared to a year ago.
And that's what's making the difference. People can't afford them.
A recent Nielsen survey shows that consumers pinched by the recession are going out less and ordering fewer drinks when they do. Bad news for bars and restaurants. But the good news is alcohol sales at supermarkets and convenience stores are up. Richard Hurst is Nielsen's senior vice president of beverage alcohol.
We're seeing still some pretty good growth rates in terms of purchases for at-home consumption.
And for those at-home martinis and Manhattans, low-priced brands are the poison most people are picking. In Los Angeles, I'm Jean-Luc Renault for Marketplace.
Walmart says it'll start selling certain models of the iPhone starting Sunday, but don't count on it being cheaper than anywhere else. The discounter will have the 8 and 16 gig phones for $197 and $297. They say they may price match other competitors. There was speculation that Walmart would offer the phones at a discounted price or even a 4 gig model for under $100. You're listening to The Morning Report on this Friday, December 26th at Marketplace.org. Going to see a movie this holiday season? Starting next month, some brand new releases will be available to view online in China. No, we're not talking about bootlegs. It's Hollywood trying to create a legitimate market in a place notorious for fakes. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Warner Brothers will offer newly released films for a fee to China's 250 million web users. That's a big market. Problem is, almost everyone here downloads illegally or buys bootleg DVDs for a dollar each. So Warner Brothers is trying to squeeze into that price point. It'll charge 60 cents per online movie. Lucas Engelhardt monitors Chinese internet ventures for the firm Blogger Insight. He says Hollywood works hard to make money in China. But for now, the best it can hope for is a cameo appearance.
I think it definitely shows that the pirates have changed the game. They don't have any other options, and so right now they need to find a way to try to monetize all these viewers. It's a long road. It's going to be slow to teach people and convert them.
Chinese piracy has cheated the movie industry out of almost $3 billion in annual sales, says one study. A Warner Brothers official describes video on demand as a crack at creating a real digital market in China. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
By some estimates, this Christmas shopping season will prove to be the worst in four decades. Shoppers did venture out to snap up bargains over the weekend and early this week, but even last-minute shopping was far below last year's. Jill Barchet reports.
Under the Christmas tree this year wasn't anything close to a bare floor. But retail analyst Marshall Cohen of the NPD Group says Americans bought fewer gifts and spent less money on the gifts they did buy.
In some cases, they would even not buy the significant other a gift this year. So maybe husband didn't buy wife, wife didn't buy husband. In most cases, the one thing I kept hearing over and over was they were knocking the in-laws off the list this year.
Cohen says it's not just the bad economic times that are to blame. He says there weren't any new technological innovations on the market that might have inspired consumers to buy. Retail experts say many stores won't be able to pay back loans they took out to finance their Christmas inventories. That means bankruptcies for them and liquidation sale shopping for the rest of us in 2009. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
It's a time of year for movie makers to create some lasting impressions. It seems like producers are putting their best foot forward with some indie flicks that are sure to get some attention. We're joined this morning by Michael Spire, executive editor of Variety. Michael, here we are in the middle of a pretty important time for movie makers. What's out there right now?
Well, it's funny because it's the time of year when you have huge movies, but it's really the time for what they call prestige movies in the industry. Things like Revolutionary Road and Doubt and movies that rely on critics' praise and hugs and kisses. They open small and then they get bigger and bigger. And then by the time the awards come around, they're name movies and people recognize them.
It sounds so warm and fuzzy, though.
Always.
What about these movies that obviously are reliant upon independent financing? And these are movies that are usually award winners, right?
Absolutely. And boy, the indie film world has changed so many times in the past few years. At first, it was really indie kind of grassroots movies. And then these studios realized that you can make money on them. So they created indie units. Something like Paramount Vantage would be part of Paramount. Something like Fox Searchlight would be part of Fox. But even they're having problems now because basically asking for money is harder than ever now.
And the bottom line, of course, is the recession is affecting everything. You know, we talk about movies being recession-proof, right?
Yeah, they really are. I mean, a movie is, you know, $10, $11 on average. So the average person still goes to the movies. In fact, this was a record year, and we're looking ahead to 2009. It could be even a bigger year. The problem is these movies are part of conglomerates. A perfect example is Time Warner. They have Warner Brothers, which if those movies do well, like The Dark Knight, one of the biggest movies of all time, good for them. The problem is they have other parts of their conglomerate that need to do well. And if they don't do well, that kind of offsets the success of the movie business.
Lots of big things to talk about in 2009. Michael Spire, executive editor of Variety. Thanks for being with us. Happy New Year.
You too.
About every half a year, the European Union gets new leadership. Each of the member countries gets a chance to take charge, to chair major summits, broker agreements, and to propose new policies. Next up, the Czech Republic. But there could be a problem, namely the Czech president, whom you might call a little difficult. From the European desk in London, here's Stephen Beard.
Say what you like about Václav Klaus, and many people have, just don't call him boring, says analyst Graham Mather.
He's a very charismatic and powerful individual. He's spiky, he can be difficult and very tough, and he can be very bitter and sarcastic and wounding.
Indeed, he has been called the rudest man in Europe. But Americans can breathe easy. It's almost certain that while the Czechs are running the EU, Klaus won't be insulting the US. Petra Stabrava of Global Insight.
Václav Klaus has been known for his support of the US, and he has always been talking very highly of the US-style economy.
That's one of the issues with Klaus and the EU presidency. His vociferous support for US-style free market economics has upset many other EU leaders. So has his vehement opposition to closer European integration. He says it threatens the sovereignty of member states. Tomasz Walaszek of the Center for European Reform says the EU is bracing itself for the Czech presidency.
The sentiment in many parts of the EU is, how can we possibly allow a country which is run by an openly rabidly Eurosceptic president to be running the European Union? That's a contradiction in terms.
Klaus has contradicted a lot of EU policy. He's criticized the European stimulus package. He's attacked the EU initiative on global warming. He thinks climate change is a myth. The Czech presidency could be a disaster, says Gideon Rachman of the Financial Times.
It's important to the EU to appear to be acting in a kind of coherent, unified, decisive fashion and not to be a laughing stock. And I fear that with Klaus in the chair, a lot of these meetings could degenerate into farce.
Klaus himself has predicted that the Czech presidency of the EU will achieve nothing of any significance. His critics say that's a safe prediction. Klaus will be doing everything in his power to prevent anything of significance from being achieved. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Once again, the Dow and the S&P 500 up about 0.5%, NASDAQ flat at this hour. There's more on the numbers at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.